Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Character studies are profitable in coming to a knowledge of the Bible. Amid historical records of the wreckage of the nation of northern Israel, we read about a king whose name was Ahab. He was on the throne once ruled by the idolatrous king Jeroboam. And the Bible says, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." 1 Kings chapter 16. But even from the wicked life of Ahab, we can learn and we can profit. Ahab had abundant spiritual deficiencies, to be sure. Some characters are admirable, and we can learn to, should learn to imitate them. But others are abominable, and we should learn to avoid their ways and escape the results of their tragedies. Abraham is, of course, of the latter sort. He had at least several symptoms of a spiritual disease. Ahab was a pouter. In 1 Kings chapter 21, it came to pass after these things that there was this man named Naboth. Naboth had a vineyard. Ahab wanted to buy that vineyard. And he told Naboth, "I'll give thee a better vineyard than it. I'll pay you worth the money that it's worth." But Naboth told Ahab he didn't want to sell his vineyard. It was his parental inheritance. He wanted to keep it. He would not sell it. And then he says that Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite spoke to him. And he said, "I will not give thee inheritance of my fathers." Now notice what Ahab did. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned his face and would eat no bread. Now you would think a leader would be a better person than that, a greater dignity and self-control and maturity than to pout simply because he didn't get his way. But Ahab went home and crawled into bed, and he looked at the wall, and he wouldn't even eat. Naboth refused to sell, and we can understand why he might not want to sell, not the land that he had inherited. And he had that right. In fact, he was obligated to preserve it for his own heirs. Yet Ahab reacted like a long-faced pouter when he didn't get his way. You know, friend, pouting accomplishes certain things. What does it accomplish? Well, it attracts attention to the pouter temporarily. And in time, it makes the pouter sick. It's a detrimental thing to his good mental and physical health. It's sort of like holding a grudge, having a vengeful spirit. It harms the person of that nature more than anyone else. But there's something else pouting does. It exposes the weak and immature character of the one who pouts. By pouting, it never accomplishes any good. That's really the coward's way of trying to hit back and to get even of something he does not like. But Ahab also had the problem of letting others do his fighting for him. In 1 Kings 21, Jezebel his wife came to him and said, "Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread?" And he said unto her, "Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto him, 'Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give thee my vineyard.'" Now, even though he was the king, he lacked the courage and the strength to stand up for himself and for what he desired. And he showed himself willing to give authority to Jezebel to let her do his fighting for him. And she began to act, and in such a vicious and wicked way. Friend, there's a difference between having people to stand with you in a fight and having people to have to stand instead of you in a fight. Letting another stand in your place when you ought to stand for yourself, that's an error committed by a lot of good people, as well as those who are evil. It's a mark of weakness, It's fear. It's cowardice. It's a lack of manliness. Especially is this true when you're called to stand for some truth. Some will not oppose sin, but they're glad to see somebody else oppose it. They do not want to become involved lest they become hurt in some way, but they're willing to let everybody else do their fighting for them. They're willing to let others suffer for whatever hardship might come as a result of standing for what is right. There'll be those who will shirk their duty and allow others to carry all the load. How many times have we seen this among brethren in fighting the wicked evils of this world? And you see, Ahab's conflict with Naboth, it was one that revealed a real flaw in his character, and he was willing to let somebody else fight his battle, even though his battle was evil. Are you guilty of letting others do your fighting for you? If so, you probably have the same kind of spiritual weakness that Ahab had. You're a shirker of your responsibility. Don't let that be characteristic of you. And again, we see that Ahab let evil go unchecked without doing what he could to stop it. He had the authority to stop the evil that Jezebel put forward. Now, Jezebel's wicked plan was this. She wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. He gave her that authority, by the way. And he sent letters to the elders and to the nobles that were in the Naboth city. And she wrote that in those letters saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial," that's sons of the devil, "before him, and bear witness against him, saying, 'Thou didst blaspheme God and the king,' and then carry him out and stone him that he may die." Well, this was nothing in the world but legalized murder that Jezebel was proposing. She really didn't care that the name of God was blasphemed. She wasn't a servant of God anyway. But she used that to accomplish what she desired for her wicked husband Ahab. No person can fail to see the conspiracy and wickedness in all of this. Few could have done anything to stop it, but of course Jezebel could have stopped it. And the rulers of the city to whom she sent the letters, what sort of characters they must have been. They could have stopped it, but Ahab could have stopped it also. And while he did not conceive of the wicked plan, nor did he conspire with the false witnesses, he was the king, and the seal was his, and he kept still. He could have stopped the killing of an innocent and pure man simply because he didn't get his own way. He allowed Naboth to be falsely accused. He allowed him to be killed. He had the authority to act, but he did not act. He was responsible because God held him responsible. God sent Elijah to him, and Elijah told Ahab, "Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession?" Notice, Ahab was accused of killing Naboth, so he was responsible. No people faithfully serve God who will let sin proceed before them and not do what they can to see that righteousness prevails. To neglect, to ignore sin, to pretend all is well when all is not well, to attempt to sweep duty under the rug, so to speak, only aggravates the violation of God's will and only heaps upon oneself deadly responsibility. To ignore wrong things does not and cannot correct wrong things. It is certainly not showing oneself a friend of the truth to allow evil to proceed without trying to oppose it. To allow evil to go unchecked, friend, is something for which many shall stand condemned before God. But we also see Ahab, he hated those who told him the truth. Early in his reign, when famine was in the land, God sent Elijah to Ahab, And when these two men met, Ahab said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Oh, his bitterness toward Elijah was so intense. But Elijah didn't let him get away with that. Elijah responded, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." 1 Kings chapter 18. Ahab hated Elijah because Elijah told him the truth. There was another occasion when Ahab and Jehoshaphat joined forces to fight against Syria. Jehoshaphat asked for a prophet. There had been certain prophets that had come before Ahab and told him all is well and he'll win a great victory and everything is going to be just exactly right. But Jehoshaphat, he said, "Isn't there a prophet of God around here somewhere?" And Ahab says, "Yes, there's one. His name is Micaiah." But he didn't like Micaiah. He says, "I hate him." Well, why did he hate him? He said, "Because he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Micaiah told Ahab the truth, but that's not what he wanted. After the terrible deed against Naboth, God sent Elijah to Ahab again, and he told him, "Oh, hast thou found me thine enemy?" You see, Ahab looked upon Elijah as an enemy because he told him the truth. Ahab cannot be considered without considering his spiritual errors. He was such a weak, sinful character. He was indeed spiritually a wretch. Though prominent among men, he was so foolish and he was so evil. He was an abomination before God. And allowed someone to do his own fighting. He pouted, letting others to assume responsibility that was his, allowing evil to prevail, hating the truth, hating those that told him the truth. He was a dark blot on the history of northern Israel. Paul one time asked people, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, God hated Micaiah because he told him the truth. Ahab hated Micaiah because he told him the truth. And Ahab hated Elijah because he told them the truth. Christian people, they don't have the kind of attitude toward things that Ahab had. They don't pout when they don't get their own way. They don't try to lay blame upon other people. They don't try to get others to do their standing for them. They are willing to stand for what is right and take whatever consequences might come as a result of taking that stand. That's the way Christian people behave. That's the way we ought to behave. Yes, we can learn a great deal from the good people of the Bible, and we need to imitate those good characteristics we read about them. But we can even learn from those who are wicked. We can learn what we need to avoid and never let it be said of our character as to be like they were. We can avoid their mistakes, and if we avoid their mistakes, we'll be a better example and a better influence in this wicked world. There are so many Ahabs around. There are so many Jezebels, women who want power. And they're as wicked as they can possibly be. God is not pleased with people like that. The Christian is fighting a warfare for righteousness in this world, dear friend. We want to stand for the things that our Lord Jesus Christ has taught. God wants man to be saved from his sin. He sent Christ to accomplish that very purpose. Would you not consider being a Christian and fighting the good fight of faith like the Apostle Paul, so that there will be a crown of righteousness awaiting you, as was awaiting him? Don't be a modern-day Ahab. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.